We honor all of our elders and ministers and deacons, to all of our visitors. We praise God for you. We thank you for coming and being with us in the service. We know that you passed a lot of churches, but you chose to stop here. And for that, we're grateful. Amen. And we pray that you leave out with more than what you came in with, in a positive way. Hallelujah. We honor our assistant pastors, Pastor Fly and Pastor Hodge. Amen. We're just looking for the Lord to have his way. I want to sing a verse of a song. I cried all night long. I cried until I found the Lord, my soul, my soul, my soul. Oh, until I found the Lord, don't you know I prayed all night long. I prayed until I found the Lord, my soul, my soul, my soul. Oh, until I found the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to ask that you would turn with us to the book of James, chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for this time together. We ask, Lord, that you may have your way. Lord, that you may speak to our hearts and our minds. Father, let us not just be hearers of your word this morning, but let us be doers. Lord, that we could be a light unto a dying world. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here. Father, we ask, Lord, that you may touch those that might be challenged in their bodies, challenged in their minds, challenged in their spirit, that you may touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, all you have to do is speak a word, Lord, and they will be healed. We ask, God, that you may help us, oh God, today. Lord, that you may send your anointing upon this piece of clay, that nothing be said through vain glory or trying to get a pat on the back, but Lord, that your people may be edified. Lord, that you may be glorified. Lord, and that the church, oh God, will praise and worship you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Let all God's people say amen. Amen. I would like to use for a subject on this morning the five keys to victory. Five keys to victory. I'm going to read again James 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In the Amplified Version, it says, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials or any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bringeth out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be perfectly and fully developed with it, without any defects, lacking in nothing. Five keys to victory. The book of Job reminds us that trouble and trials are going to come. They are inevitable. They will happen. I don't care what you say or how you believe they're not going to happen. They will occur. In Job 5 and 7, the Bible says, yet man is born unto trouble. Man is born unto trouble. It was trouble when we got here. It's going to be trouble when we leave here. Even if we're caught up, the world is still going to be in trouble. Since this is the case, we need to understand how to face the trials that will surely come our way. There is a test that the jewelers use to determine whether a diamond is a diamond or not. It is simply called the water test. I am told that a fake diamond loses its brilliance when it is submerged in water, but a real diamond does not. Can I tell you that there is a water test for Christians that will determine whether or not you're authentic or whether you're fake? True Christians will not lose their luster and their brilliance when they are submerged in the trials of life, because we realize we have a helper. There are five keys to consider in having constant victory for Christians when we are in the midst of a trial. Allow me this morning to share with you those five trials. Key number one, the attitude of joy. The first key to victory in the midst of our trials is that we must have an attitude of joy. James 1 and 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers meaning different temptations. And to count means to consider or to evaluate. Joy is not a natural human response to trouble and trial. You must make a conscious commitment to face each trial with an attitude of joy. You know, when you're going through a financial crisis, it's hard just automatically to have an attitude of joy. You have to work at it. You have to tell the devil, this ain't going to bring me down. I'm up on a mountain and I'm not coming down. I'm in the presence of God and I'm not coming out no matter what happened. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. We find in Philippians 4 and 11, it says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So test is going to try, but I'm contented because I'm anchored in God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anchored in God. So no matter what, the ship may rock and the ship may go back and forth, but I'm anchored. It is important that you understand that Paul made these statements while he was in prison. And prison was not what it is today. It was a lot worse. He said that we should count it, we should consider it a sheer gift of pure joy when we are faced with tests and challenges. So instead of talking about it, we should praise him for it. The word when conveys the idea of an unplanned event. It's an unplanned occurrence that surrounds you. Consider with me the story of the Good Samaritan who found a man who fell among thieves. In Acts 27, we find out that this man fell amongst thieves. He was beaten and he was robbed. It was an unplanned event. He did not plan this. He did not measure for this. It just happened. But even in the midst of this, God had a way out. He had a remedy for it. Sometimes we are going through things that's not of our making, but God will bring us out. Sometimes it's our children's fault. Blame it on the children. Sometimes it's our husband's fault. Sometimes it's the wife's fault. Sometimes it's Pookie's fault. that we're going through just trying to be a good Christian. Here we find that this man did not plan this. We see also in Acts 27, Paul was a prisoner on the ship that fell into a place where the two seas met. They got caught in a cross current that caused them to hit a reef, striking the front of the ship in a sandbar. And while the front of the ship was stuck in the sandbar, the back of the ship was being beaten. But they held on. They were in a place of turbulence. It was a place they did not plan to be. It was a storm that they didn't know was coming. Sometimes life sends storms that forces us out of our feeling good place, out of our comfort zone. It occurs as a cross current of turmoil that happens in our families, in our life, in our church, at work. But yet, in all of that, we say, I'm anchored in God. These storms have a way of altering our sense of direction and our sense of security, breaking up what we have come to believe is a place of refuge and causing us to have to grab onto something, anything that will float. I'm telling you, sometime when you're out there with the Lord, you feel like you're out in outer space all by yourself, just floating around, and the only thing that you have to hang on is the Word of God, because His Word is sure. His Word is true. All I have, nobody understands what I'm going through, but I have the Word of God. He promised He would never leave or never forsake me. But sometime what we perceive as a storm, however, is nothing more than God disciplining us. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 11, for the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems grievous and painful. But afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Trained by what? Trained by discipline. Trained by what? Trained by testing trials. Trained by hard times. When you go through hard times, you learn God. You have a track record with Him. You remember where He brought you from and what He's able to do. You remember when you had nothing or you had little and God made a way. I would say, look at me now. Look at you now. Look where the Lord has brought you from. We used to sing a song, look where He brought me from. He brought me from a mighty long way. A harvest of fruit which consists in righteousness is conformity to God's will and purpose through the action resulting in right living and right standing with God. In the book of Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 11, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So if you want to live a life of victory, when the storms come, learn to cultivate the right attitude, an attitude of joy, an attitude of joy. He said, count it all joy. I know it's hard, but with the Holy Ghost, you can do it. Count it all joy. When folk are lying on you, count it all joy. When trouble seem to come in every way, count it all joy. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 16 and 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. So when you're going through, just know this and say to yourself sometime, my sorrow shall be turned into joy. Why is that? Because that's what the Word says. And I believe the Word of God is right. How many believe that the Word of God is right? If you believe that the Word of God is right, then your sorrow will be turned into joy, because that's what the Bible says. A woman, when she is in travail, have sorrow. What are you talking about? When she's about to have a child, she's in sorrow. I never, ever seen. I'm like David now. I was once young, but now I'm old. But I ain't never seen a woman laughing in travail. She's in travail and she's in sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. So which after she had that baby, while she's going through, she's crying, and the poor father, he gets the brunt of it. All right, dads. They look at you, they roll their eyes. You tell them to squeeze your hand, they try to squeeze it off. And then they say, you're never going to touch me again. But as soon as the child is born, there's no more anguish. For the anguish is replaced with joy. So it is that even when we're going through tests and trials, when we come out, we forget about the test and the trial, and we just have the joy of God bringing us out. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will say, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Jesus was telling his disciples, I'm going away, and you're going to be very sorrowful that I'm gone. But don't worry, you shall see me again. And when you see me this time, you're going to have joy that no man can take from you. Joy, unspeakable joy. We got to have the right attitude in going through. You got to learn how to look beyond the trial and see the end of it. In Acts 16 and 25, we find that Paul and Silas was in prison. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. This is the attitude we need for survival. If you want to learn to pray and sing praises while trying to survive the dungeon of depressing troubles, you will surely know the victory of the Lord. To do this, you must be able to see beyond the moment. Sometimes we get caught up in the moment. I heard a story of a man. This man only had one leg. He wasn't a church man, but his brother asked him to go to church. And he went to church. His brother rolled him up in the church. And he got caught up in the moment. The service was so good, the spirit was high. He forgot that he only had one leg. The preacher said, I want everybody to stand up and put your hands up and give the Lord a praise. He jumped up on his one leg, forgetting that he only had one. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, get caught up in the moment. You can get caught up in the moment. But on the bright side, we can get caught up in the moment and forget about our tests and our trials that we're going through and see Jesus even in the midst of it, because he is good. How many know that the Lord, he is good? How many really know that the Lord, he is good? Hallelujah. He is good. Hallelujah anyway. Never let your troubles get you down. When your troubles come your way, lift your hands up high and say, hallelujah. Anyhow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most of us say we believe that God is going to see us through. So if we know that God is going to do what he said he's going to do at the end, and everything is going to be all right, why are we worried in the midst of the storm? While we're in the midst of the storm, that's a good place to give God some praise. That's a good place. Put your trust in the master of the storm and know that this too shall pass. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 7 through 9, we read something of interest concerning the problems that Paul was dealing with. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. Here we find that Paul was a revelatory man. He was able, I believe, to hear the voice of God. He was able to see things that people weren't able to see. Through the abundance of revelations. That's what that means. Abundance of revelations. That he was able to understand and see things that everybody couldn't see. But he said, I had an abundance of it. That was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buff me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Thrice being three times. That it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. So Paul had this thing going on. Many times folk tried to figure out what the thorn was. Some said he had a runny nose. Some said he had a stomach of sickness. Some just said they didn't know. But if we read the scripture, he said that there was a messenger of Satan that was there to buff me. In other words, there was a spirit that was following me around. There was a spirit that was messing with my mind. And I went to the Lord three times. And I asked him to remove this spirit from me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. My grace is sufficient. So he had a change of mind. He said, the Lord told him, for in weakness am I made strong. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore I rather glory in my infirmities, in my troubles. I rather glory in that than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We learn God in our troubled times. We don't learn Him when everything is all right. When everything is all right, it's a result of us going through some trouble. Maybe you said, I ain't never went through no trouble. Well, I just say, keep on living. The real need oftentimes is not the elimination of the trial, but the grace to endure it. Take me through, dear Lord. Take me through. We don't sing that anymore because we don't really want to go through. We want to say, take me around, dear Lord. For Paul wrote in Romans 8 and 18, he said, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Listen. I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy. All that I go through is not even worthy to be compared to the glory which awaits me. Trouble don't last always. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. Hallelujah. Weeping may endure for a night. Trouble may endure for a night. It's just a season. Let me tell you something. Don't panic. It's only a test. Hallelujah. We can joyfully endure suffering in the present, because of the glorious future that is promised to us. We need to ask ourselves today, do our trials make us better or bitter? I refuse to be bitter because of what I'm going through, because I'm taking the Lord God with me everywhere I go. All right. Key number two. We have to have an understanding mind. The second key to victory's life is that we must have an understanding mind. James 1:3 says, know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There are a few things you got to know. You must come to know the reason for the testing. Trials are designed to produce patience. I hear people praying for patience. And I say, do you know what you're praying for? The only way you're going to get patience is through testing trials. That's the only way it's going to come. It's important that we understand that the word endurance in our text means patiently waiting on God to remove the trial. In His time. God is going to move the trial in His own time. Remember the song, You Can't Hurry God? Oh no. You just have to wait. You have to trust Him and give Him time, no matter how long it takes. For He's a God that you can't hurry. He'll be there. Don't you worry. He may not come when you want Him. I said He may not come when you want Him. But He's always on time. So He's going to show up in His time. God builds us the same way a runner gradually develops his ability to run a long distance. When I was in high school, I was a distance runner. You didn't start off like a sprinter because you wouldn't finish. You had to pace yourself. A runner starts small and works his way up to a maximum capacity. In the same manner, God allows increasingly greater trials in our life to increase our spiritual endurance. The more difficult the trial, the better our
spiritual. Thank you, Lord. The sweeter the victory. Let us consider together what some of the patriots of passion have said. David in Psalms 40 said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lie. So He was saying here, He heard me. I was in the muck and the mire. I was in a place. Have you ever been in a place? Have you ever been in a place? Here was a great big man by the name of Elijah. He was in a place. He went into the cave, and the Lord met him in the cave and said unto him, Elijah, what are you doing here? Sometimes it's not a physical place. It's a mental place. It's a spiritual place. That we're in a place that we're not supposed to be. And God is sending his word and said, come out of there. You're better than that. I designed you better. I designed you better. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there have no temptation taken to you such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. That's a very important point. Will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you should be able to bear it. We get caught up on what we're going through and we forget about the escape. God always provides a way out. He always provides a way out. We get so caught up on the test. The way out is saying, here I am. Let me tell you something I found out. I can't praise God and be sad at the same time. When I praise God, it changes the atmosphere. It changes the environment. I start remembering the things that God has already done. I pull his track record. I find out that he's a lawyer in the courtroom. I found out that he's a healer in the operating room. I found out that he's a peacemaker. I found out that he was a deliverer. Oh, yes, he is. Do you really know who you serve? We say that God will put no more on you than you're able to bear. It might not say it like that, but he says that there will be no temptation that you're not able to come out of. Hallelujah. We are bound to thank God always for you. As it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches. For God, for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Now here Paul, he's bragging on them. He said, yeah, they're going through tests and trials, but look how they're handling it. They still have joy. They're going through. You know what? They're telling it from church to church. Well, have you heard about the church in Thessalonica? Thessalonica. Have you heard about them? They're going through. They said, we count it all joy. Count it all joy. I want you to think about that a little while. Heaven ain't bragging on you for the easy stuff. Heaven ain't bragging on you because you gave back a dollar when the cashier gave you a dollar over. Heaven is bragging on you when you're having trials and tribulations, when everything is turned upside down, and you say in the midst of it, I still got joy. Or you say in the midst of it, that's all right, and that's okay. God is going to win anyway. Heaven brags on you. No wonder the Lord asked the devil, have you tried my servant? Hallelujah. All right, I got to get through. Key number three, you got to have a submissive will. The third key to victorious living is a submissive will. James said in verse 4 of our text, but let patience have her perfect work. Whatsoever you do, don't fight the trial. Don't try to end it, go through it. Don't try to interrupt it, go through it. Because if you interrupt it, you got to do it again. But if you go through it, you can pass the test. So since you got to go through it, you might as well go through it with joy and praise. Let me tell you something about praise. Sometimes you might not feel like praising God. I know that hasn't happened to anyone here. But sometimes I don't feel like praising God. But it's not dependent on my feeling. It's dependent on the word of God. So I praise him anyway. When I first start off, I might not feel too much. But I keep on praising him. And I keep on remembering. And I keep on singing. And pretty soon, the environment changed. And now I'm no longer just praising him and singing it, but I'm meaning what I'm saying. I'm giving God the praise in the midst of it. Because I know it was him, or it is he, that's able to bring me out. He's the only one. He's the only one that can bring me through it. In Psalms 37 and 5, it said, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust also in him. Trust also in him. In the midst of my troubles, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That is the word of God. Key number four. We have to have a believing heart. A believing heart. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all of thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We got to do some acknowledging here. It is the Lord that made everything all right. It is the Lord that gave me the strength to work this job. It is the Lord that gave me the finances to buy my house. It is the Lord that blessed me with my children. It is the Lord that healed my body. We might say it was the doctors, but it was the Lord talking to the doctor. It was the Lord talking to the doctor. It was the Lord that brought me to this place. It is the Lord that gives me a sane mind. It is the Lord. In all of thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. Some of us is in the mess that we're in right now because we did not acknowledge him. We did not consult him. Is that right? Kind of remind you of the children of Israel when they went up to Ai. They said, well, they just got through with Jericho, so they was feeling a little selfie. What do you mean selfie? I mean caught up in they self. Say, well, when we go up to Ai, just a few men. We don't need everybody. We're going to take about 3,000. And we're going to go and we're going to take over that. But the Bible said that when they got to Ai, the men of Ai withstood them. And they lost some men. They came back and they told the king what had happened. And he said, he laid down and he began to ask the Lord. He said, Lord, people are going to laugh at us. We let this little tiny nation push us back. Not only are they going to laugh at us, they're going to laugh at you. Isn't it funny how we put God into the equation? And he said, Joshua, get up. Brush yourself off. If you had asked me, I would have told you that you could not beat them. If you had just asked, I would have told you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Commit thy ways to the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. Key number four, we have to have a believing heart. The fourth key to victory is a believing heart. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord. Trust in him. You're going to go through your trials. You must face your trials with faith in God's wisdom and not your own. Understand things are going to happen, but it's the wisdom of God. You know what? People say they have your back, and at the time, they really might feel they have your back. But nobody have your back like God. The person that say they might have my back, they might be all the way in Michigan. They might be all the way in California. But God is right here, right present, right now, who never sleeps or never slumbers. Because he's right now. The key is understanding that God is in control. And for us to have victory, we must, in the midst of our trials, we must believe that he can and he will take care of everything. Everything will be all right. Paul's prayer in 1 Thessalonians 1:2 was for us to have grace and peace. He said, grace unto you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will put your faith, your trust in the Lord, you will find his grace and peace in the midst of your storm. Even in the midst of your storm, you can have peace. Let me show you how it works. Have you ever been in a situation that you know you should have been upset? You can truly say that these are grounds to be upset. But when you reach to go back and get it, you're not upset. You have to tell yourself, why are you acting like this? You know you ain't upset. You know you're not angry. When did it leave? It left when I praised God in the midst of what I was going through. Key number five, a humble spirit. A humble spirit. In closing today, the fifth key to victory I want to share with you is simply this. You must maintain a humble spirit. James 1:9 says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. The way up is down. The way up is down. So what do you mean? The way up is on your knees. I hear people say, I want to be a pastor. I want to be an evangelist. I want to be a prophet. I want to be a teacher. The way up is on your knees. Until you learn how to pray, you won't ever get to know your ambition. It's nothing wrong with wanting to be a pastor, but you got to know the one that you're going to talk for. Is that right? How can you talk for someone you don't know? You might say that he likes ice cream, and he say, I don't like ice creams. I like popsicles. You might say, well, he liked to ride a bike. He said, no, I don't like to ride a bike. I like to ride a scooter. You got to know who you're talking for. And the only way, you got to know him. You got to know his voice. So you have to spend time in prayer. 1 Peter 5:6 tells us, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, and that he might exalt you in due time. In due time. God will exalt you in due time. It's not according to what you think. Well, I've been at this church for 10 years and I'm still in the same place. God will exalt you in due time. Now, in that 10 years, what did you do? Have you been preparing for your elevation? Or are you still the same one hanging with the same folk, talking the same lies and laughing at the same dirty jokes? There has to be a change. There has to be a change. When God delivers you, He changes you. I have shared with you before when I was growing up, when I got in my early 20s, I wasn't trying to get to heaven. I wasn't trying to get to hell either. I was trying to get to purgatory. Purgatory, I was taught, was a place in between heaven and hell. That if you ended up in purgatory, eventually, somebody will pray you out. It might take 100 years. It might even take 1,000. But what's 1,000 years compared to eternity? But my first day at the Holiness Church, I walked away angry because the preacher said, there was no purgatory. I thought me and the Lord had an understanding that He knew my heart. The only thing the Lord is looking at, He's looking at your actions. He is. He's looking at your actions. If you love me, this is what He said, you'll keep my commandments. That's what He said. So recapping the 5 keys to victory. Key number 1, you must have an attitude of joy. Key number 2, you must have an understanding mind. Key number 3, you must have a submissive will. Key number 4, you must have a believing heart. And key number 5, you must have a humble spirit. If we live by these 5 keys, we will live a life of victory, even in the midst of terrible trials. If you're here today and you want to change your life, and you're saying, I need a life change. I've been trying to fix my... Let me tell you something. I don't care how sweet a car is. And I don't care all that it can tell you. It can tell you when it needs an oil change. Now, anybody know that to be true? I know it to be true. My car, we was on the road. And the light came on to put some oil in there at the nearest fill-up. So I got off the freeway going to Akron, and I raised the hood, and I'm looking for the dipstick. I needed to find out how much oil I needed, right? It said put some oil in, but it didn't say how much. So I'm looking all over for the dipstick. I'm feeling about this big, because here's a grown man can't find a dipstick. So I called the manufacturer, praise God for the cell phone. And he said, Mr. Fly, there is no dipstick. I said, what do you mean? Every car have a dipstick. I said, yours don't. So he says, you go and you buy some oil. Keep the car running. Pour the oil in the car. Till the light go off. Have you ever heard of anything like that? I don't care. The car now can tell you when you're too close to the car up ahead. Alarm will go off. Say you're about to have a collision. It beeps when you back up and about to hit something. It even keeps you in your lane. Anybody know that to be true? It fights back when you get out your lane. They want to keep you in your lane. But one thing a car cannot do, it cannot repair itself. One thing that we can do, we can do a lot of things, but we cannot fix ourselves. We have to be fixed of God. So if you're here today and you're saying in your heart and in your mind, you know what? I've been going through a lot of stuff. I need God in my life. I'm not coming up just for somebody to lay hands on me. I'm coming up because I know that I need a change in my life. So if that's you and you need a change, all you have to do is repent of your sins. Not sorry that you got caught, but sorry that you sinned against God. And you have to say, Lord, I'm sorry for the sins I have committed. And I'm not going to sin any longer. So if that's you, then you need to come. Once you have repented of your sins, you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the removal of your sin, and you shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the word of God. Are you here?